on the road. We're on our way to AEW Dynamite in Huntsville, Alabama. Got Logan behind the wheel, and I'm going to be doing some drinking when we get to Huntsville, maybe. So, Logan's the wheel man tonight. Logan, how are we doing?
Oh, doing good for a DD.
That's right. Logan, what are you looking forward to tonight on the AEW show?
Oh, man, I don't know. Just a little bit of everything. I'm hoping to see me some Chris Statlander.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the 10 lashes that Cody's going to receive tonight.
Oh,
that's going to be good, too. We got Shelby and Jacob and Nick from the Elite Marks page that are going to be there. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to try to meet up with them here in a little bit. And we're going to try to do a little post show on the way back. It's a nice 2-hour drive from where we live. So we'll do a nice little post show and tell you what happened from the event and how it came off. And we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have some news and notes.
Friday, February 7th at the Action Building in Canton, Georgia. The inaugural SHW Tag Team Champions will be crowned as the Lynch Mob battles Not Yet Rated inside a steel cage.
It's going to be a steel cage match for the SHW Tag Team Championship. Unbelievable.
Southern Honor Champion Corey Hollis defends his title against the Prince of Petty, Ashton Starr.
Celebrating in the ring is Ashton Starr, your new number one contender for the SHW Championship.
The monster of SHW, Sunny Days, makes his in-ring return as he takes on Gunnar Miller.
The crowd has come alive here with Sunny Days.
They sure have.
Plus, Danny Jordan versus Catalina Perez. Owen Knight versus Cam Carter. Joe Black versus Sean Legacy. Kyle Matthews versus David Ali. And so much more. Don't miss Southern Honor Wrestling live. Doors open at 7 p.m. Bell time at 8. Tickets start at only $10. Grab yours now at SouthernHonorWrestling.com.
I can't believe what we saw here tonight, folks. I mean, this is insane.
SHW, this is our wrestling.
We have to... All right, we're back with the Georgia Heat podcast. We're about an hour outside of Huntsville, where we'll be watching the AEW Dynamite show on TNT tonight. Maybe you'll see us out in the crowd. Logan, are you pretty hyped?
Yeah, definitely hyped, man.
We're going down these back roads here in Alabama. We're actually talking about Alabama. I'm hoping to get JP on really soon and talk about the Alabama scene. We talked about that last podcast. But let's go ahead and get into our news and notes this week. All right, let's talk about some of these numbers some of these wrestling companies have done. First up, we have Wrestling United. It drew over 90 fans. So, what have you heard anything about Wrestling United?
No, that name don't ring a bell.
It doesn't with me either. There's a couple of them that I've ran across on their attendance numbers. With doing 90, we might need to... pay a little bit more close attention to Wrestling United. So Wrestling United draws 90, not a lot of news and notes on it. Just wanted to bring up their number. RCW ends up drawing 64 people out of Chatsworth, Georgia. Logan, where you were there for that event, right?
Yeah, definitely.
The creation of your boy Johnny Viper and the Illuminati. Any big things coming out of that event?
They're kind of ramping up, getting ready for the best of the best tournament. Other than that, they've got Ethan Cage has made a return and is vying for the belt, Johnny Viper's belt. And you got Dion Mercer on the next show that's going for Jason Collins' belt.
Nice. And, of course, it was just announced on the RCW page that David Ali will be in the tournament, the best of the best, coming up in March. I'm not sure. Do you know the exact date? Is it March 7th?
I'm not quite sure. I don't have anything in front of me with me driving.
Yeah. So I have.
I can't cheat.
I don't have it wrote down, but I do believe it's in March. And, of course, we'll give it some more plug on a future podcast. We'd like to get David Ali on. He seems to be in every promotion right now. Okay, let's move on to Southern Fried, who had a huge show recently. They ended up drawing 264 people. So not a bad crowd, not as good as their last show, but 264 people is enough to put them in the talks of the top five promotions in the state of Georgia, like we talked about last week. Big news and notes coming out of that: Logan Creed lost his title to Michael Judas, and we had Jacob Ashworth make an appearance in the crowd, taking pictures with the crowd, and tearing down the ring at the end of the show. So, Logan, any thoughts on Southern Fried?
I also heard that the David Ali CT Keys match was really good. Fought to the outside. I do want to say it seemed like the idea behind that was maybe a Me Too type deal with Huckabee and Joe Black's match going over so well. They said, well, if that worked for them, maybe it can work for us.
Right.
I mean, it they weren't wrong. It worked, so kudos to them for that.
Yeah, and then the big spot with Alan Angels jumping off the trailer onto David Ali and it looked like a lot of people that were set out there. So Southern Fried coming off the big show, and we'll definitely have to have Dr. Brock on very, very soon. We may even try to give him a call after AEW Dynamite tonight, depending on how late we get out. But let's get on to the next show, Southern Violence, which draws 273. If I had my sound machine, I'd make the ding sound because they are our champions this week. Southern Violence drawing 273 people out of Athens, Georgia. Of course, we had Alex Rodd defeating Justin Legend to retain his championship, and then Charlie Anarchy won against Wolverton, who had Tyler Rivera in his corner for a number one contendership match at a future show. So then you had Brad Cash also won. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Charlie Anarchy is now the number one contender for the Southern Violence Championship. We'll get with you on the next show on that. But, man, this week's winners, Southern Violence, drawing 273 people, Logan.
Big show.
Yeah. Out of Athens, Georgia, a little bit too far for us to travel. But according to everybody that was at the show, it was a really, really big, hot show. And we'll have to follow some of those talents that were at that show. Tyler Rivera, I guess he just travels all over the state, it would seem.
Yeah, he's been at so many shows here lately. It's unreal, and it's hard to keep up with what all he's doing.
Yeah, he's doing a lot. Finally, we're going to get with – oh, no, we've got two more. I'm sorry. We've got APW, who drew 125 people. Not a bad crowd there. Not really familiar with APW. We'll have to get a little bit more information on that. And then Pro Wrestling Georgia drew 122 people. Now, I know that doesn't sound significant, but their tickets were $20 a piece. This took place at the Landmark Arena. And then we had a tournament. It's kind of like a hardcore style tournament. With it ending up with Tank and Brad Cash at the end of this deathmatch tournament. And Brad Cash ends up getting the win and wins the tournament at the Pro Wrestling Georgia event. So, yeah, that's a That's impressive too that they were able to sell that many tickets for $20 a piece. Most shows are $5 to $10.
Yeah, I mean that doubles your income right there. So it's just like having, you know, 240 instead of 120. So,
all right, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about who we would like to see from the Georgia indie scene in AEW to kind of fit with our theme as we're on our way to this AEW Dynamite show. And we'll be right back with the Georgia Heat Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm a fan of a lot of different people and a lot of different organizations. This Saturday, Thompson, Georgia, February 8th, Viral Pro Wrestling. Let's go. The Unknown on one side, led by James Kitchens and Darius Lockhart, will take on the other side. Oh, these guys are dangerous. Team Legacy. That's the main event. 5-on-5 elimination match. My money? And I just bet on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, so I have a lot of it, is on the Unknown. And I've got just one request for all of you fans out there heading to Thompson, Georgia this Saturday. Be a revolutionary. Be different. Be unique. Be a unicorn. The Unknown, Team Legacy. May the best team win. It's your boy, the coach. Enjoy the show.
I was so excited to come back to Southern Honor. I trained hard. I thought I was ready. Obviously, tonight I was not. And you cheated to be here. And I understand you gotta do what you gotta do. But after tonight, I'm going back home. I'm gonna train harder. I'm gonna train more than I ever have in my life. I refuse, David Ali, to let you ruin my return to professional wrestling. This is what I love doing more than anything else in the world. And if any.
What to do about Kyle Matthews? A man who has won multiple awards in Georgia. A man who's highly respected by promoters all over. A man whose eyes I looked into as he drowned in defeat at the last Southern Honor by my hands. A man who I saved. Kyle could not live with his defeat. And where did that bring him? It brought him back to me. As it will always bring him back to me. And what this has allowed me to see is that even though my work will always be done, it can never be finished truly. Kyle at the next Southern Honor 17, was to stare me in the eyes and beg for redemption, fight for redemption. But what he does not realize is that there is no redemption for lost men. While he seeks redemption, the only thing he'll find
is his destruction.
Podcast. We're on the road. Hopefully the audio is to your liking. We've got the Georgia Wrestling History Reporter to my left here, driving the wheel man, Logan Frazier. Logan, we're going to discuss this topic right here. What Georgia indie talent would you like to see get signed by AEW? this kind of fits our narrative because we are on our way to AEW Dynamite. So we'll start with you, Logan. Just right off the top of your head, we'll mention several talents. Who would you like to see in AEW?
Well, I'll go right into a surprising one for you. And I know they're not exactly your favorite, but with the way that AEW is set up, with liking tag team so much, I'd like to see the Lynch Mob go in.
I would absolutely love to see the Lynch Mob go in. Lynch Mob and AEW makes sense. They've got a strong tag division. Lynch Mob against Lucha Bros, Young Bucks, all of that sounds great. I wouldn't mind seeing either one of those talents. You know, I often wonder the night that Cody was there, what talents kind of maybe struck a chord with him. And maybe Lynch Mob was maybe one of them. But I would love to see the Lynch Mob in the tag division in AEW. I'm going to go with AC Mack. I would like to see AC Mack in AEW. I think he's a pretty good character. He fits with AEW's model. He's great on the mic. He's great in the ring. He doesn't get winded easily. What do you think about AC Mack?
I think it's a great idea. You know, a lot of people have issues with his mic work because you're supposed to, because he's a heel. But he's great on the mic. He automatically, stuff right off the top of his head, it just rolls out.
Yeah.
And that is something that is very lacking in professional wrestling today.
And also, you know, WWE has had their eye on AC Mack before. He has been on an NXT taping. So, you know, AC Mack, he's kind of got the whole package. He's good in the ring. He's great on the mic. He can draw that heat. At the same time, he can be that cool heel. So AC Mack is a guy I would like to see on the AEW roster. Who's another one off the top of your head in the state of Georgia who would make a great addition to the AEW roster, Logan?
I think you kind of have to go with Ashton Starr.
Yeah. He fits. He also fits with AEW. Ashton Starr would be a phenomenal character in AEW. He's made brief appearances in promo videos for the Dark Order, along with David Ali. But yeah, Ashton Starr is great. I'm gonna do you one. Well, I won't say better, but equally as great. And I think that David Ali would be an awesome addition to the AEW roster.
Absolutely.
I would love to see him feud with Cody Rhodes or just, man, I can just imagine him being that heel that he is now where he's trying to dispose of a lot of legendary talent in the state. You could go with that gimmick. I like the gimmick he's doing right now where he's the savior. I imagine the promo videos would be fire on AEW Dynamite. That would make a great addition as well. So you have Lynch Mob, AC Mack, David Ali, and Ashton Starr. Who else would make an awesome addition?
Well, I mean, she's already been on there, but you can't really leave out Danny Jordan. I mean, you know, she's already kind of put a little bit of a mark there. Of course, she was on NWA Power also. I just think that she would do fantastic in AEW as well.
Yeah, Danny would be cool in AEW. I see Danny in forming some kind of group where she has another woman that protects her, much like Brandy and Awesome Kong, but a little bit different, where she's kind of the, excuse my language, chicken shit heel, and she's kind of got the bodyguard gimmick going. And they're the snob girls in AEW. That would be kind of a cool little storyline. But yeah, Danny is another great one that would make for the AEW roster. See, looking at my notes here, I'm gonna have to go with, you know, Logan Creed. I know he's signed with MLW, does it mean that somewhere along the lines we wouldn't see Logan Creed? Because AEW, they're kind of lacking in big men, in my opinion, Logan. So a guy like Logan Creed being brought in to protect a talent would be kind of cool.
Can you imagine seeing a match between Logan Creed and Luchasaurus?
Wow. Yeah, yeah, that would be awesome too. I mean, Logan Creed, he could fit in on any roster. I think he's kind of a no-brainer. So I had to put him on the list of people I would like to see in AEW. Branching outside of Southern Honor, is there any key talent that you feel like can make it on the AEW roster?
Absolutely. Johnny Knoppert. Well, you have no opinion on that?
Johnny Viper on the AEW roster.
Yes, bring the Illuminati. Enlighten the people.
I don't know about that. I have to disagree with that. That'll be the only one this evening so far that I've disagreed with. I don't think Johnny Viper... I mean, I guess he'd win a match if he brought his goons in. Jason Collins and all those guys, yeah. But, yeah, that's not... Yeah, I don't think that's a great one. I'll tell you one that's really good. Matt Sales. I believe that Matt Sales, with AEW and the way they do comedy in AEW, would make a really good fit on the roster. Imagine some pretty funny segments with him and Orange Cassidy. You could get him involved with... the Luchasaurus or the Dark Order. Obviously the guy's not in there to win matches. He's over like crazy because of his gimmick of losing matches. At the same time, you could build for that win, and that crowd would absolutely go crazy. And it would be under a wider scope, being on TNT. We all know about Matt Sales, of course, anybody that listens to this podcast, but think of the people outside of the state of Georgia and outside of the surrounding areas that hasn't seen his gimmick. It's original, and it's very, very entertaining. I think he fits very well with AEW.
Absolutely, and of course, he has had a little guest spot there maybe two AEW pay-per-views ago, something like that. When he came out and did the little machine gun thing at the beginning of the Young Bucks entrance.
I mean, there's a ton of talent out there. I mean, even Michael Judas, I see as a guy that would make for a good spot on the AEW roster. I know he's gotten older, but a Michael Judas or a Slim J would be great to elevate. Some of your talent that you're just trying to get over, like a Kip Sabin, for example, people that you're trying to build up on your roster that haven't really been seen to a bigger audience. Any of those guys would be great to come in and elevate the talent in AEW. So any other guys that you can think of off the top of your head would make great talents on that AEW roster?
Well, they had a tryout with ROH. I think Master of Machine would be a good option too.
Yeah, and they've got that gimmick, and Griff Garrison is a guy that we don't talk about much on the podcast, but there's tremendous upside to a guy like Griff Garrison. He's got the look, he's got the body. I haven't heard him too much on the mic. Mainly his tag partner, from what I've seen, kind of carries him on the mic. At the same time, he's not, I haven't seen anything just terrible, like, man, this guy is terrible on the mic. This guy is, to me, if we're doing predictions, to me, he's got the most upside of any of the young talent in the state of Georgia. I see him getting booked a lot more, and I see him getting booked in Southern Honor at some point this year. Mark my words, we'll go back and listen to this podcast. Griff Garrison is going to be a big name by the end of 2020.
Bring in the bold prediction.
Yes. Why don't you make a bold prediction before we end this segment, Logan, and as we approach Huntsville? What's your biggest bold prediction that you don't feel like anybody else sees coming?
How about by the end of the year, I think you will have Danny Jordan signed to a major label, major promotion outside of Georgia.
Well, Danny's so talented, I don't know how big of a bold prediction that is, but I don't know, that's pretty bold.
Well, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, I did. I didn't give you time to take notes, that is true. Danny, yeah, I could see her definitely being signed by AEW. She's already working with NWA, which is personally one of my favorite wrestling programs to watch right now, outside of, especially of WWE. WWE has put on some good shows as well lately. So wrestling as a whole is super hot right now, and of course it is in the state of Georgia. That's why we do this podcast. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, Logan, and we'll get back with you on the way back from AEW Dynamite. This is the Georgia Heat Podcast.
Susie Quinn here, and I'm backstage at Southern Honor with Corey Hollis. Corey, you beat Suicide tonight. How did that feel, and what is the future for your wrestling?
The future for my wrestling, everybody saw what happened tonight. Ashton Starr wants to stick his stupid little nose in my business. Who is Ashton Starr? Who is he? What has he ever done? Where has he ever been? He is not the athlete that Corey freaking Hollis is. And all these scat rags back here in this locker room who think they can take this away from me, you got another thing coming. I'm sick and tired of everybody pussyfooting around. The best in the world is Corey Hollis, and I'm sick of all of your sh**.
Southern Honor Wrestling, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Catalina Perez, and I make my debut this Friday against the real mean girl, Danny Jordan. Now, Danny, it doesn't matter how many times you watch Mean Girls, because that's not going to help you when you step foot in the ring with me. The only quote you're going to be saying from Mean Girls is after the match, when you're crying and they're interviewing you and asking you about the match, you're going to sit there and say, Catalina Perez punched me in the face. It was awesome. Danny, you're not the real mean girl of professional wrestling. You're not Regina George. Do you know who you are? Do you really want to know who you actually are? You're Marina Tucker. You're Marina Tucker. So on Friday, I want you to bring that burn book, because I am personally going to put you right in it. Mwah!
All right, we're back on the Georgia Heat Podcast. We just left AEW Dynamite and AEW Dark. It was a pretty good show overall. We had the nosebleed section. Me and Logan could barely breathe from the pyro. But other than that, a good show and some pretty good matches. Logan, what's your first impression of the show?
Well, I thought it was a great show. It was well-rounded. Really liked several of the matches. Maybe one of the matches not so much, but I might have slept through it a little bit.
Yeah, you've been going hard at it, so you've been very busy as well as me, so we were a little bit tired. Logan is, as a matter of fact, worked today, and he came right after work, drove all the way from, where's your work at, Lafayette? Yeah, all the way to Ringgold, which for a lot of you, if you don't know, that's around at least probably a 30-minute drive just from there.
Yep.
And, of course, this 2-hour drive here to Huntsville. But let's get into the review of the show. We first saw the first match that I thought was going to be the main event. We discussed this just a minute ago. It was John Moxley and Ortiz. Yeah, it was Ortiz from the tag team in the Inner Circle. And John Moxley's going to pick up the win here in a pretty decent opener. He advanced the storyline with him and Jericho. Ended up taking out the Eye of Santana. I'm sorry.
Your six.
Yeah. Those two are going to be facing each other next week, eye for an eye. What did you think of this match?
I thought it was probably one of the best matches of the night. I told Trey earlier that I kind of don't understand the positioning of the match. It was really high energy, and the fact that it started out. And I understand you start your show with a high energy match, you get your crowd pumped and ready for the other matches. But we'll talk later about why I don't think that it was set up correctly once we get into the card a little bit more.
Okay, so that pretty much just advanced their storyline for the pay-per-view. They're all going towards Moxley. Moxley runs off through the crowd. And then I'm trying to remember, I didn't take notes during this, but what was the next matchup? Was it the
I believe that would have been the Britt Baker Yumi Sakasura.
Good luck on that. I have no idea how to pronounce her name either. But Britt Baker is going to get the win here. She's going to lose here to the random Japanese wrestler, because here's my thing I was telling Logan. Okay, they have some tremendous athletes from Japan, all great workers. They don't have distinct personalities. They all, without trying to sound racially insensitive, and I know it's their culture, but every one of them have the same gimmick, and it's like a Japanese animation, kind of just flashy colors and everything. And it's, I mean, obviously I know who the champion is. She's got a similar gimmick to them as well, but she's just so little. And being the champion, I'm going to remember her a little bit better. But some of these women, I'm having a hard time remembering. So I don't blame JR for having the same trouble remembering the entire roster. And these Japanese women who aren't doing enough to separate themselves. They're all baby faces. And that's
except
just
for
my,
the weird Charlie Chaplin.
Right.
She's a heel.
Right. At least she's doing something different, and she's not dressing like all the rest of them. They all dress exactly the same. So moveset's very similar as well. So I would like to see some more character development in some of your women in your women's division, like a Dr. Britt Baker, which is a great example, which I do believe she should have went over tonight. Especially to get over her heel character, whether she had to cheat to win. Either way, you're putting emphasis on Dr. Britt Baker, and the only way to see her as a top woman in that division is to have her go over a little bit more. I've noticed they have kind of booked her. They've kind of booked her like shit a little bit.
Well, you know, you get the whole heel persona is that you get mad when you lose, and that's the thing that they're trying to get over right now, because
a little bit like Jericho when he first turned heel in WCW, and he starts taking the chair and slamming it up against the ring post.
Exactly.
He's frustrated.
Because what did Britt Baker do?
This results to Britt Baker getting some sort of push or wins after this.
Oh yeah. And immediately after the match, she gets infuriated, goes to the timekeeper's table, turns it over, gets the bell, takes it into the ring, busts Yumi over the head with it, and then she takes and she somehow like sticks the mouth of Yumi across the bottom rope and smashes her face. with her teeth on the rope and knocks out one of her teeth.
I thought that was a pretty cool spot.
It was an awesome spot.
As campy as it may have came off a little bit, I enjoyed the hell out of that spot.
Well, you know, it probably looked a little campy to us, but I bet it came across better on the TV, like on the actual airing of it.
Well, either way, I mean, it was a great idea. I loved it, and I guess that the loss kind of makes sense now in hindsight, kind of just thinking off the top of my head that it did make sense for her to lose, because why else would she just attack her after the match and knock out her tooth?
There you go.
So there you go. What else do we have?
Let's also keep in mind that, man, she is awesome on that mic. Yeah. I don't even know if they aired that part on television, but, man, she's talking about that she could pay off all of her student loans with the front row, because there's so many people with bad teeth in the front row.
Yes.
And
that was great too.
Just all kinds of stuff.
Really healed it up.
Yeah, it was good. Really, really enjoy a heel Britt Baker.
Okay, next up we're gonna have the best friends who come out with Orange Cassidy, who is over like crazy. Almost eclipsing the best friends in the match. And then you have SCU come out. Pretty good little tag match. Dragged a little bit.
Also over, by the way.
Who?
It's weird because you have faces against faces.
You know, I almost don't mind that.
Yeah.
Because they present their product like a sport.
Yes.
And with it not being a pay-per-view and it being a TV show, I don't mind it, because they keep track of their records. So every match, and the reason why they do keep track of the records, I feel like, is so that every match feels like it's important. Whereas when you have a great match on Raw, a lot of times it's just a great match. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't count for anything. It's just an ongoing feud where these guys face each other a million times. And that's something else I enjoy about AEW over WWE. It's not the same exact matchups every single week. And you're going to have a face versus face here and there, and maybe a heel versus heel every once in a while. It's more of a sport. Of course, you still have your heels and your faces, but it's more of a sport-orientated product, and I like that about it.
Yeah.
And this match was pretty good. SCU and best friends. Orange Cassidy signing the shirt of a member on our page, Jacob. Jacob and Shelby had excellent seats, second row, real close to ringside. Orange Cassidy reached over and signed Jacob's Orange Cassidy t-shirt, so that's pretty sweet. Did you end up seeing that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
I'm
really cool.
Hoping it got caught on camera. That would be even cooler. Moving right along. Who got the win in this match?
You know, I think it was SCU. I think it was like kind of like a back and forth, to the point where you weren't quite sure who was going to get it. And here's my thing, Trey, and this is what I really like about the fact that you have two faces going against each other, and it's a sportsmanlike thing. Mm-hmm. You know what? It doesn't matter who won, because they both got over.
Yeah.
And that's an element that wrestling's missing, is how to get both people over in a match to the point where it doesn't matter who won. They both won.
Right.
And of course, right after, you had the Dark Order come out and attack.
And then they presented a mask to Orange Cassidy to join the Dark Order. Orange Cassidy is going to turn it down and put his hands in his pocket. He gets decked for that. And that's pretty much it.
Out comes Christopher Daniel to kind of...
And he clears the ring. They don't touch Christopher Daniels.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're building towards Christopher Daniels being the leader of the Dark Order, because it reminds me of what I've heard on a podcast where they, where WWE at one time wanted to make Christopher Daniels the leader of the, or wanted to make him the higher power, when that storyline was going on in the late 90s during the Attitude Era. So I kind of wonder if that they're building sense. For, in a nice little twist, since Christopher Daniels doesn't seem to have it anymore, that's the story they're kind of telling. Would Christopher Daniels make a great leader for the Dark Order? And I kind of think he would. But yeah, at the same time, the chemistry he has with Kazarian and
Scorpio Sky
is pretty awesome too. So I don't know if you want to do that. He's a good one to think about if they're going to pull the trigger and reveal their leader or whatever. I think Christopher Daniels might be a good choice.
Well, they had somewhat of a scramble, you know, as far as, you know, behind the curtain. It was originally a role that was meant to go to Marty Scurll.
Right.
And he turned it down.
You know, I don't know. I know everybody thinks that would have fit really good. Villain Enterprises, I don't think it would have fit good.
No,
I really don't.
No.
I almost think you need an outlandish character to be the leader of Dark Order.
You don't think that Marty Scurll is outlandish?
No, I think he's very... I don't think he's very outlandish. I think he's more reserved and kind of... he's not over the top. Not to me. That's just my impression. Now, as far as his gimmick... and it being darker, that makes sense.
Right.
And it really would have put a lot of heat on the Dark Order to make him the leader. It would have made sense, I guess, as far as that's concerned. But it's almost, I guess they're trying to make it less comedy. But to me, it's too comical still. And I don't want to see Marty in that role. Even though
right.
Marty can be comical sometimes. But not like that.
Right.
Here's
my take on it. I think that, honestly, I like your idea of putting Christopher Daniels in that spot better than what I'm about to say. But from what I have heard, there is a lot of rumor going around that it's going to be Matt Hardy.
Yeah, but... then again, here they are banking on Matt Hardy not re-signing with WWE. They need to have something in their back pocket, almost a plan B. I think Christopher Daniels is a perfect plan B. But I do think if they are able to get Matt Hardy, I do think Matt Hardy would make possibly a better leader. Or it would make more sense. I should reword that. It would make more sense if Matt Hardy were the leader of Dark Order.
Well, and especially with the way that he's
because I told you, they need an outlandish character. Matt Hardy's character can be outlandish.
Right, and, you know, the way that he has been presenting the broken thing on YouTube, he took, like, for example, his lawn care worker, who portrayed being somewhat of a loser.
Right.
And put him in the resurrection pool and turned him into a badass.
Oh, you could do it.
So all these losers are signing up for the Dark Order, and they're under a hood until they go into the resurrection pool.
Right.
And you turn them into badasses.
Damn.
Makes
I would like
sense.
That. And you could film some really cool segments on the Hardy compound. Maybe some matches out in the woods. I mean, the sky's kind of the limit on what they could do with Matt Hardy as their leader. These are all hypotheticals, though.
Yeah.
But I'm liking it, man. All right, what do we have next? What was the next thing on the list?
Well,
was it the Janela and Kip Sabin?
Or was it the Eight-Man?
Yeah, it was the Eight-Man.
I'm sorry.
I'm skipping ahead. Next up, we had the Eight-Man tag. It was the Elite taking on...
Let's define the Elite.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Adam Page.
Right, and let me just go ahead and say, you know, the Bucks are over just about everywhere they go. I think Omega has struggled to really find himself. I don't think he's had that match that just made the casual fan just be like, oh man, this guy is something special. So something to me is missing with Kenny. And hopefully, Kenny's just so good, there's no way that he won't get himself over eventually. But as of right now, Kenny was really not that over in Huntsville. The Bucks were, you know, over because it's the Bucks. But Hangman Page was insanely over in Huntsville.
That cowboy shit.
They're going to have a hard time turning him heel because of that cowboy shit. And all the other stuff that he does, like the segment later on they did. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but they did a segment where the Bucks said, "We know what your problem is." They took away his beer. He gets a pitcher, or it pans out, and he's got a pitcher in his hand. He's drinking a pitcher of beer. So I mean, and the crowd just erupted over that, man. This guy might be the most over babyface on the entire roster, with the exception of a Cody Rhodes. So I don't know, man. I think they're going to have a little trouble turning this guy heel. It's going to be a little bit of the cool factor to where the fans are going to cheer for Hangman, and they're really not going to be into the Bucks and the squeaky good guy, squeaky clean gimmick with Kenny and the Bucks, really.
Well. You know, the thing about it is that he has almost that Stone Cold rub to him.
Absolutely.
The working man's, you know, it even comes all the way back to Dusty Rhodes, where he was the all-American working man, you know. And I think that's a story that, you know, Cody is helping to develop in Hangman. You know, he's showing the story of his dad through Hangman a little bit.
I never really thought of it like that. Now, I think Hangman has really a tremendous upside, and I really feel like Hangman is kind of the future of the business, and why they didn't pull the trigger on him so early, they wanted to build that up. His eventual title run. I do feel like he will have a title run within the next year or two, maybe. But this is building up quite nicely. I love the slow turn with him turning heel. The only problem is that nobody's going to boo the guy.
Well, you know, if you can do it correctly, your best heel is always your best face. And sometimes it's bucked at first. It's not accepted at first. But eventually, they figure it out and they're like, you know, this guy can be, you know, a real dick.
Yeah.
And you just get to the point where it just doesn't settle with you to cheering.
Right.
You know, depending on what it is. And I'm telling you, it doesn't take a whole lot anymore to really set somebody against, you know, a character.
Right. I think that your baby face these days, they need to have a lot of them. If you want to get them over as a true baby face, they have to have an edge to them, a nonchalant, I don't care kind of attitude. I'm out for myself a little bit, but I'm also not asking for help kind of deal. And I think that Hangman Page has that right now.
Well, you have two types of heels.
They have to
like
be
that.
Very, very careful on how they handle him, because this is a guy that could. I see him as a top merch seller, and I see him as your top face eventually. So when you turn him, you almost have to. You almost have to feel the crowd a little bit in this situation. I just can't see anybody really booing the Bucks, but they got booed tonight when they took that beer away from them.
Well, you know, if you think about another example, a WWE example, because, you know, some of our listeners might require that to be able to swallow this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have Seth Rollins, okay? Seth Rollins was consistently cheered for the longest time.
Yep.
When he was champion, he come out, he addressed the crowd. He was essentially the Raw locker room leader.
Right.
Okay. Worst merchandise seller of any WWE champion in the last 5-10 years.
Really?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They have turned him.
Right.
And he is so good.
He's a great heel.
At being the heel and being this cocky, like, almost cult leader.
Stop.
That he has now put out this Monday Night Messiah show.
And I love it.
And it's selling like crazy.
He stole my damn gimmick, though.
He did. I think that's hilarious.
Messiah of masculinity, man. That's my gimmick.
Yeah, not but so when he much did anymore.
Yeah, well,
now
whatever.
It's just going to look like you're copying him.
I know, man. I know it kills me. I still got to get a t-shirt made of that. Speaking of which, we'll be working on that. I hope to have, by April, t-shirts, hats, stickers, you name it. Elite Marks merch is coming. I promise you that. If you want to get some, all you got to do is message me and we'll figure out where I can meet you or if I need to send it to you. So, yeah, it's coming. And I know a lot of you still want stickers, so I'll be sending those out. And if I see you at a show, I can give you one. But not to get off into that too much. What do we have next coming up?
Okay. Really quick, before we go into that, there was an interview segment that happened directly after this. Of course, all the way through this match, they made it very obvious that Kenny Omega and the Bucks are somewhat banded together and constantly leaving out Hangman Page.
Mm-hmm.
So, then you have, towards the end, there's a lot of friction between the Bucks and Hangman, and Kenny's in the middle.
Yeah, and he refuses to tag the Bucks. You know what it reminded me of was when Owen and Brett were tagging together, and Brett wasn't able to make the tag, and Owen just ended up, you know, not getting the tag. They threw the refs stopped the match, and then Brett and Owen lose to the Quebecers. I remember this clearly. And you've seen it before where somebody just refuses to tag,
uh-huh.
And it always causes some kind of friction. To me, this is my favorite storyline in AEW right now, is this Hangman Page and Bucks and Kenny and where it's headed. I see Kenny and Hangman against the Bucks, eventually losing the titles to the Bucks, and there you will have the split where Hangman is done with the Elite.
Yep. And then you have a blow-off match with Kenny and Hangman that I think could be yes. that defining match that Kenny's
yeah.
looking for.
Yeah. At the same time, you know, they're probably going to want, the way the way it's booked, it's like they want the crowd to cheer Kenny, but you know that he's not going to get cheered like Hangman Page is. Hangman Page is going to have to do some serious heel shit. To be able to get the crowd to turn against him.
Right. And it's also important to mention, because I don't think we did, they were up against the Butcher, the Blade, and the Lucha Bros.
Right.
So, and they took the win over the Elite.
Right.
Then, eventually, Kenny was the last one in the ring, and Tony Schiavone come out to interview him. But the interview was cut short because Pat came up on the screen and
kind of threatened Miro.
Is that her name?
Mira.
I know that's Mira. Terrible.
I think it's Mira. Yeah, either way.
The women's champion.
The AEW women's
that
champion.
That is like Kenny's best friend.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so Kenny runs off to go try to save her in the back, presumably. And
well, she gets attacked by Nyla Rose and put through a table.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it broke. She don't weigh enough
right.
to break
oh.
a table. That's like hitting a pillow
yeah.
up against the wall or something. I mean, it didn't break the
yeah,
wall.
She picked her up like a rag doll.
Yeah, well, she is a rag doll.
Yeah.
That's
for real.
There you go. And apparently next week you have Nyla going against her, I think.
Yes, the title.
Is what I understood. So,
for the title.
So setting that up, obviously Pac and Kenny again, which I don't mind. That was a great match. Really surprised me that Pac was allowed to go over on Kenny.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember watching that with you and being very surprised and kind of happy. It's like Kenny didn't need it. Now yeah. Kenny needs it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they went a little overboard putting people over Kenny to get other people over.
Well, he
and
lost.
Now you've got to rehab him.
You know, he lost like 5-6 times in a row.
Right. I mean, the Bucks are getting to Bucks aren't there yet because they've had some wins under the belt as well. But, you know,
But you also have to understand it's
singles
really
and tags
kind of
different too though.
It's really kind of important in the fact that these ones that we're talking about, the Bucks, Kenny, and Cody, who have had some really key hard losses, that's your executive vice presidents
right.
of this company.
Do they want to look like Kevin Nash and book themselves as?
No, definitely not.
But they're also the biggest stars in the company.
And the thing is that that's exactly right. They're putting people over.
Right.
They're bringing people up to them instead of dragging them down and putting their foot on their heads. And that mentality of, hey, I want my company to succeed more than I want my ego to succeed.
Right.
Is what's getting them over.
I know.
And
it's
nobody
honorable.
Notices it.
It's honorable. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them are selfish in the fact that, you know, they've got to put themselves over and make sure they're continually looking strong. They're not like that. They're not like even Cody's dad to a certain degree, Dusty, he had an ego as far as like the way he was booked and stuff. You look at Triple H in a way, Kevin Nash, all those guys were selfish at one point when they were kind of handed the books. But Cody and these guys, I think they do a great job not looking too selfish. But at the same time, they are the top stars. I mean, let me say this too. Me, as a fan, I was not a fan of Dean Ambrose in WWE. Absolutely hated the character. I didn't get it. It was this goofy, lunatic, greaser that did terrible, terrible comedy. I couldn't stand it, and I just thought that he was overrated as a performer. I guess his moveset as well. They neutered his moveset. Mm-hmm. So then when I see him outside of WWE and I'm watching some of his matches, it's like a totally different wrestler. And the gimmick, it's like the gimmick he's doing now is what the gimmick should have been in WWE.
It's like Vince
just did not get it. He really did not get it. And I'm not crapping on Vince. Look, Vince is a mastermind when it comes to stuff like that. You can't win them all. But he should have listened, I guess, to Moxley more. And I don't know, man. I really enjoy the character in AEW. I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm actually into his character. I think he's probably, with Hangman Page and Orange Cassidy and Cody, and I'll put MJF in there, I think they were the most over tonight. What do you think?
It's interesting that you put MJF in there.
He's hugely over.
Yeah, he's hugely over as a heel.
I know, yeah.
And that's important to understand.
Over's over.
Right, over's over.
And he's got a ton of heat.
Are you drawing booze? Are you drawing heat? Guess what? You're over.
Are actually, like, pissed at him.
It's just like in Moxley and Ortiz's match at one point, you had people chanting, Ortiz sucks, Ortiz sucks. And what did Ortiz do? He was in the middle of the ring, and he was bowing.
Yes.
And saying thank you. Because, hey, you know what? That's what he's going for.
Yeah.
If you're hating on them, if you're yelling at them, if you're pissed at them, they're doing their job.
Yeah, and the worst thing that can happen is just absolutely no crowd response, no heat, no cheers, no boos. You're indifferent. And that leads us to our next
that
match.
That is what I was fixing to say.
Kip Sabin takes on Joey Janela. Oh, man, this match. If you want to, I mean, I don't crap on AEW often. And I do think there's stuff that they need to fix. But this right here, this was the shits. In my opinion, the story should have been built up a little bit more before we got this match. Especially if you're trying to get both talents over. They went ahead and sprang to this match. I thought it was going to be one of those you would see as maybe an opener on a pay-per-view. If built up correctly, the crowd would have invested more into it. But it was not built up for like a few weeks in some really quick segments. So the crowd did not care about this match.
And the only thing, and see, what they have built up in it is the fact that Joey Janela is the former boyfriend of Penelope Ford.
Yeah, have they really pounded that through the audience head enough?
Not enough.
Not enough, here's the thing, in my opinion.
When you have this match come out, and they're, you know, maybe it came across better on TV.
Right.
I'll give them that because, right. You know, you do have JR, Shimani, and Excalibur talking that we can't hear sitting in the building.
Right.
So maybe they're building this up by words that we're not hearing.
Right.
But otherwise, for everybody in the building, it was cold. It was two people thrown together, and the story was not being told.
Yeah, there wasn't enough heat on the story.
And you had a silent crowd.
Yeah, they were sitting on their hands.
Except for way up in the nosebleed seats, there was this one guy.
Oh, my God.
Who was sleeping and snoring through it. Literally.
Oh, boy. Well, there was a guy above us, even more above us, who was very into it. And it's like...
Really?
He was into every match. You didn't
hear him? Oh, that dude.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
That guy killed me.
Yeah.
He didn't come alive until the Britt Baker match. But when Britt Baker came on, I guess he has a infatuation with her. He was, oh, yeah, get her. Take her teeth out. Oh, yeah. Just, oh, man, the whole show. Yeah. I'm like, dude. And then he would be about to yell something, and then he would let off. He'd try to start a chant here and there. Nobody would get on that chant, and it was just super awkward. He eventually winded down towards the end of the show. He wasn't as vocal.
Oh, no. Every lash, he was vocal.
Was he?
Oh! I mean, it was like he felt it.
Yeah. I think I was just so invested, and that brings us...
Yeah.
Well, wait. First, who won that match? I can't even remember. It was so boring. Kip Sabin ends up winning. With help.
It's something about...
No, he was making out with his valet. Joey Janela runs up and ends up knocking her off the apron by accident, gets rolled up and pinned by Kip Sabin.
Because he's trying to check on the valet on Penelope Ford. And
right.
While he's trying to check on her, Sabian just rolls him up.
Yeah.
And
nothing
that,
much
that.
To that. I guess that advances the storyline. We're not done with that yet. Hopefully they get a little bit more heat on it and a little bit more story and backstory to Janela as a relationship with, what was her name again?
Penelope Ford,
yeah. So, we'll, you know, I don't know that. It had no heat on it. It was very, very boring. So we'll move right on to the main event segment. This saw MJF give Cody Rhodes 10 licks with a belt. And this was absolutely brutal. I think Logan had made the comment, that it's got to be gimmicked up. Absolutely, it was not gimmicked
up. Well, not afterwards, no.
No. The marks on his back were so nasty. And I think this is the kind of segment that'll resonate in people's heads.
It's something
different that AEW hasn't done yet. It was they ended their show with a segment that's really, I think it's got people more invested in this feud between Cody Rhodes and MJF, especially the brutality of those licks, and the fact that Brandy came out,
Arn Anderson,
came out to check on him.
Even the heels came out to watch.
He wore this on his face. Brandy came out with tears in her eyes.
He was crying.
And she kissed his hand, and he just said, I think he had two more at the time, and they let Warlord or Warlock or whatever the hell his name is.
Wardlow.
They ended up letting him get a couple of licks in, and this was absolutely brutal. But it's something I'll never forget, and I've been to a lot of shows. I will definitely never forget seeing Cody get absolutely just lashed to death on his back. His back looked nasty.
Well, once on the back of his neck, and once across his chest.
Yeah, that final one I think came across his chest. And man, I'm telling you, Cody, probably because Cody really was in pain, but Cody sold this so damn well, man. Like, it made everybody in the building feel for him. Everybody in that building felt every time he got whipped with that belt, every single time.
There was women in the audience. You could hear them
gasp. Yes.
I mean, just, oh!
Yeah. Absolutely brutal.
I mean, let me tell you, it had to hurt him. But the things that Cody Rhodes is doing for what he considers his company, is what's making AEW the contender that it is against WWE.
Absolutely.
You look at his face. He's already sacrificed part of his face because he has that brutal looking scar that has scar tissue under it, and he told them, no, I don't want it to be done correctly. I'm going to wear my scars proudly.
Right.
And that scar looks just as fresh as the day that it was done. Yeah. It looks like it still has stitches in it.
Yeah.
And nothing's being changed. He has the other gash that he got when he hit, in the back of his head where Sean Spears beamed him with that chair.
Absolutely brutal, man.
I mean, if you think about it, in such a short time, short history of AEW, Cody Rhodes has taken some brutal shots. Whether it be from a chair, a floor, or from a leather belt.
He absolutely sacrifices himself for the company. And he's done a great job at really directing people's eyes towards him as a main eventer and kind of breaking that glass ceiling. I mean, WWE had him as Stardust, and I'm telling you, dude, he was jobber. I mean, he jobbed every single match. He was nothing more than a comedy act. He has done an absolute fantastic job since leaving the WWE and just building himself as a star, an absolute star. And yeah, between him, Hangman Page, the Bucks, Kenny, John Moxley, of course, Jericho, MJF. Who's the other guy in the inner circle? Sammy Guevara. Oh, my God. That guy is money, too.
Dude, I love Sammy Guevara.
He is such a damn good heel, is he not?
Yeah, and the thing that I really like, and I think is absolutely ingenious, and you don't see another single freaking soul doing it, is he has mastered the fact that when they go to commercial, it goes to the side screen, and he has these slide cards that he's doing during the whole entire commercial break.
Genius.
That is freaking gold, son.
Genius, yeah.
Gold.
Everything about him I love, man.
He is
somebody
marketable.
Compared him to Eddie Guerrero and his style of wrestling.
But
I can definitely see that.
But here's the thing. And this is what's money. He's Eddie Guerrero with Chris Jericho's on the spot.
He does
humor.
Remind me of a younger Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that until now.
And I'm sure behind the scenes that's why this pairing has happened.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Jericho has picked up on him
right.
being similar and has just mentored him, but
He's done an awesome job at distancing himself from everybody else, and as far as like having his own personality. He's a talent that I think of when I think of AEW now, whereas when AEW first started out, I didn't know who the hell he was other than he was just another name.
Right.
But he's done a great job of creating his own character and being a different heel from anybody else in the company.
Now, I will say this. This is my turn to crap on AEW a little bit. Okay. The one character that I can't stand... Right. And I'm not talking about, like, heel I can't stand. I can't stand the fact that the underdevelopment of this character, and that's Jack Hagar, or Hager, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
I think
he generated some heat, though, man. He got a ton of heat from the crowd.
I don't know. For me, it's not heel heat. For me, it's like... You look like a freaking box of rocks standing up there. He hasn't even done a match.
You're right. He hasn't.
I mean, it's like you're supposedly.
It doesn't look like they're. It's not like they're trying to build him for a match either.
Right.
He's just a hired hand. I don't mind it as much. He's a bigger guy. He just seems like a hired hand. He's there to protect Jericho. At some point, yeah, I do want to see him in the ring. You know, we're kind of running short on talent in AEW as far as, like, you're just seeing the same kind of acts every week. They've got to expand the roster a little bit while we're ranting.
Well, and they have the roster to do. They just aren't out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're already hired. Where are they at? Yeah.
I agree. I would like to see some kind of relationship formed. With possibly a New Japan or even NWA. NWA or ROH, they've had relationships with them before. I know there's some sour taste in ROH's mouth from them leaving as well as New Japan. But like Jericho said, put that shit aside. Let's work together. We can create something kind of magical here. As the top three or four promotions in the entire world working together, you're really doing a service to the fans, and you're creating business for all four of your companies. But we are running short on time. We have talked for nearly 45 minutes on this review, but that's okay. It's an extra long edition of the Georgia Heat Podcast. Anyway, anything you want to end on this review, Logan, before we sign it off?
Nope, I think we've pretty well covered it from the road.
All right, we will get back with you next week. We will not be on the road. We'll be back with our normal format. We'll have a guest on. We'll let you know a little bit later on in the week. We appreciate you listening to the Georgia Heat Podcast.